I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I'm
a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Pastor Andre, preach me this word. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. All right, so last week we shared a sermon called I Got Questions. We were talking about what it's like to be in the middle of uncertainty, in the middle of this virus, and to have questions in our life. And we let you know that it's okay to be in that place. But then we put this up. This is our final point. Our final point was God's questions supersede our questions. So no matter how many questions we have, it is God's questions that override our questions. And this is what we came up with, was the question that God asked, and this is where we stopped from. Genesis 18:14a, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And so that was where we parked at. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So that's the question that God posed to Abraham, and I pose it to us in the middle of this crisis. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And we know the answer is no, not one. And so that's going to lead me into today's sermon. Today's sermon is He Got Answers. I got questions, but He got answers. Why don't you just type that out real quick? He got answers. I know we're not being grammatically correct with I got questions and He got answers, but we are in desperate times, and desperate times call for desperate measures. And I'm not trying to be cute and grammatically correct. I'm here to let you know I got questions, but He got answers. And who is the He? It's my Father God. It's Abba Father. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And if you don't know Him, right now would be a good time to get to know Him. Right now would be a good time to say, God, come into my heart, come into my life, because You have the answers that I need. And so we're going to put it up in points. Point A is this: God's answers are often found in our reflective questions. Going back to questions for a second, God's answers are often found in our reflective questions, our reflective questions. There's the way when we question God out of disrespect, that's wrong. We don't want to do that. But there's a time that we have questions that are reflective. And so we're going to put a definition up of reflective. Definition of reflective, number one, is relating to or characterized by deep thought and thoughtful. So being reflective means you are in deep thought. You are thinking. One thing that this crisis has given us time, it's given us time to think about a whole lot of stuff. It's given us time to reflect. It's given us time to, as the songwriter said, look back over our life. And so when you're in a state of reflection and deep thought and meditation and thinking things through and wondering, many times God's answers can come. Sometimes God just needs us, Brother Arante, to slow down a little bit. Sister Sarita, He wants us sometimes just to take a break. Sister Essence, sometimes He needs us just to chill for a moment and think. The word Selah means pause and calmly think on that. And sometimes when we're in the rat race of our life and we're going here and there and to and fro, it doesn't give time to think. But baby, right now, everybody got time to think. We're in a place where we have to sit down somewhere. We're in a place where we can't go where we want to go, be where we want to be. And in that time, it brings reflection. It brings us to a place of thinking and pondering. And many times in this thinking and pondering state, God will bring us answers. Let's go to the Word of God. I know Mother Mitchell's back there reading with me, so I'm going to read from here. She's probably reading from 1901 North Elgin. But Psalms 124, 1 through 2 in the New Living Translation says, what if the Lord had not been on our side? Question mark. Let all Israel say, repeat, what if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? In other words, once they got to reflecting, they asked themselves a question. What if the Lord wasn't on our side? In other words, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? In other words, now that I'm thinking, I'm also realizing, now that I'm pondering and reflecting, I'm also realizing if it had not been for the Lord. I'm so glad in this crisis I know the Lord. I'm so glad I was saved before I walked in this crisis. I'm so glad I had a prayer life before I got in this crisis. I'm so glad I had a Savior before I got in this crisis. I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord. And when you look back over your life and you begin to reflect and you begin to think, you are reminded of one thing. If it wasn't for God, my car should have went off the road, but God. I should have been sleeping in the devil's grave, but God. I should have overdosed, but God. I should have died in my sins, but God. I should have HIV, but God. I should have more children than I have by different women, but God. If it had not been for the Lord. And when you begin to think, it reminds you that God has been there. One songwriter said he was there all the time. He was there patiently in line. And the story of the footprints said, when I saw one set of footprints, it was then that he carried me. Now, why is it that we cannot recognize the Lord in our circumstances before? Is because oftentimes we're moving too fast. And when we're moving fast, the questions that we have is, God, why haven't you done this? And why haven't you fixed this? And why haven't you changed this? And why haven't you worked out this? And God, I've been faithful to you. And God, I've been giving. And God, I've been doing. We have all those things. But when we stop for a moment and we think for a moment, we are reminded of what God has already done. Not about what we need him to do, but what he's already done. And when you look back over your life of what he's already done, this is what you come to, just like they came to. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. All right, let's look at verses 4 and 5. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. The virus would have took us out. The layoff would have wore us out. The divorce would have made us go crazy. Now that I'm looking back and now that I'm looking reflectively, I see, God, if you didn't step in, I would have went crazy. I would have lost my mind. I should have lost my mind, but you stepped in the nick of time. Now I know everything's not how I want it to be, and everything's not how it should be, but I'm not going to hold back my praise because it could be worse than what it is, and the only reason it's not worse than what it is because you stepped in the nick of time. I wish I had a praying church and a praising church over the internet that know that if it wasn't for God stepping in the midnight hour and late in the midnight hour, God can still turn it around. God, I thank you that you stepped in when you stepped in. I thank you that when I called on you, you were there. I thank you that you moved when you moved. I thank you that you made a way when you made a way. No, everything wasn't like I wanted it, but you always come through. May not come when you want them, but he's always on time. And when I think about it, the waters would have overflowed us. Not just the virus and the waters, but the tornado and the layoff and the divorce and the therapy and the rejection and the molestation and the alcoholism and the addiction. When I look back over my life, brother, I got a testimony that God's been good to me. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. We are hard-pressed, but we're not in despair. We're not overwhelmed. Things come at us, and things hit us, and things beat against us. The waves of this world beat against us, but they don't overwhelm us because we have a God who steps in between us and the problem. And for that, we are grateful. So let's bring up answer number one. So if you continue to read in Psalms 124, not that many verses, if you continue to read, you'll find out the answer they come up to within this. First of all, they have a question. Man, what would have been like if God wasn't on our side? And then they come to this answer, which is answer number one. It's found in Psalms 124 and 8. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is what it reminds me of when I begin to be reflective, is my help is in the name of the Lord. My help is not in the politicians. My help is not in General Motors. My help is not in the IRS. My help is not in the police and in the mayor. And all those people may be nice and good, but at the end of the day, my help is in the name of the Lord. And if you understand that, that has to take you to this other thought, that he's the maker of heaven and earth. So even though we didn't know anything about the virus, God knows about the virus. God knows how to heal. God knows how to make Corona bow to his name. God knows how to make economic downturn bow to his name. God knows how to make rejection in your life bow to his name. God knows how to make depression bow to his name. God knows how to do it because our help is in the name of the Lord. Now, it's sad in some respects, but this is a good place for the church to remind the church, our help is in the name of the Lord. I love the Hammond organ, but my help's not in the Hammond organ. I love the drums, but my help's not in the drums. I like the lights and the screens, but my help is not in the lights and the screens. My help is in the name of the Lord. That brings me to the next verse. Put this up. This is the common thought will be the next verse is Proverbs 18 and 10. It's a different verse from that chapter, but it's a parallel verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. The reason why I'm sad is not because of me. I'm sad for anybody that's not righteous, that don't know where to run in this time. I know my help is in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous can run to it and be saved. In other words, the name of the Lord is like an umbrella. And if you're outside and the rain is raining on you, and the thunder is thundering, and the lightning is shining and flashing, all you got to do is get up under the umbrella. And this is the time to get up under the name of the Lord. What's his name? His name is Jesus. What's his name? His name is Elohim. What's his name? His name is El Shaddai. What's his name? His name is El Elyon. What's his name? His name is Jehovah Jireh. What's his name? His name is Jehovah Nissi. What's his name? His name is Jehovah Makedesh. What's his name? His name is Jehovah Roi. What's his name? His name is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord God that healeth thee. Even if you have sickness in your body, he's got a name that is above every name. And at the name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And his name is a strong tower, and you can run into the strong tower. But the reason why I said all those other names, because it's not just healing we need. We need provision. We need a banner. Whatever you need, it's in the name of the Lord. That's why Israel said our help is in the name of the Lord. So what are you doing during this time? Are you running to the name of the Lord? Or are you running to CNN? And you're running to Fox News? And running to MSNBC? Nothing wrong with going there to get information. But don't go there to get strength. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you want strength, you got to go to the name of the Lord. Because here, what you'll find out about the news will confuse you. The news will, you won't know what's going on, because the news will say one thing on one side and another thing on the other side. One thing says we're going to be done with this by April. Another news source says ain't no way we're going to be through this by April. I don't know what to believe, but I do know I can run to the name of the Lord. I know what CNN is talking. I know what Fox is talking. But God, what are you saying? I got time to get a hold of God. I got time to talk to God. If you're off your job, you have time to run to the name of the Lord, and your help is in the name of the Lord. Brings me to point B. God answers questions you didn't ask. So would you take us to A first? Let's recap A. Go all the way back to A. A, God's answers are often found in reflective questions. So first of all, we get answers when we begin to reflect. And the answer we got is our help is in the name of the Lord. But then God often answers questions we didn't ask. All he wants us to do is open up dialogue with him. See, prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Monologue means you're the only person talking. If your prayer is you're the only person talking, you're not really praying and talking to God, because God doesn't get a chance to say anything back. But prayer is a dialogue where you talk to him, but he talks back to you. So let's go to B. B says, God answers questions you didn't ask. So I was in Proverbs 18:10, but let me drop to Proverbs 18. Let's go to 18:10 again. Let's go to 18:10 again to put it in context. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Let's look at what 11 says. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. Now, wait a second. We didn't ask God about that. We were just finding out his name is a strong tower and our help is in his name. But after he said it's a strong tower, he turns and starts talking something different. And he said a rich man's wealth is his tower. In other words, our strength is in the name of the Lord. But a rich man who has trust in his money and in his stock market and in his economy and in the buildings he's built and the businesses he has and the bonds and the deposits he has, that becomes his strong city and that becomes his own esteem. So maybe this virus is talking about more than what we think. It might be more than just something that is attacking the health systems. It might be something else going on. So let's dig a little deeper. Let's go to answer number two. Answer number two that I think we're seeing this is Haggai 2 and 5. And here's answer number two. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Answer number one is our help is in the name of the Lord. Answer number two is if you know God and you're locked into God and you're holding on to God, his spirit is still in your midst. His spirit is still there. Listen, you might be locked in the house, but his spirit is still there. You don't have to be in this building at 720 East 2nd Street to be feeling his spirit. Some of y'all are feeling his spirit right through your phone, because he says it's according to the covenant I made with you that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So even though you're in a tough time, I want you to understand that I got my hand on you and my spirit is still in your midst. Somebody ought to just raise their hand right where they are and see if you can feel the presence and the spirit of the Lord. The presence and the spirit of the Lord. I still feel his spirit in my midst. And now we do have a few folk right here. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there you are in the midst. So we know we feel him here, but right where you are, even if you are alone watching it by your phone, you can still feel his spirit, because he has a covenant with you. This is the best time. So that's answer number two. I want you to go back up to Haggai 2 and 5 for me. I didn't finish it because there's something else added. It says, my spirit remains in your midst. And then here is the second part of the answer. Fear not. I know this is a fearful time, but since my spirit is still with you, don't be scared. Fear not. Don't you grab hold of fear in this moment. Don't you panic in the pandemic. Don't you choose fear over faith. Don't you stick your head in the sand. Don't you back up. Don't you let hold of God now. My spirit is still with you. So fear not. Come on, say that with me. Say fear not. Somebody say no fear. Here. I got to tell you a little story. When my daughter, all of my kids, I've done this. Whenever they have nightmares, and they come and they say, Daddy or Mommy, I have a nightmare. And whenever I find out about it, the next day I tell them, we're going to pray over you. And next time it happens, you say, no fear here. And every one of my children, once they have nightmares, when they wake up, they may still run to Mom and Daddy, but they come running saying, no fear here. No fear here. What I'm teaching them to do is have more faith in God than they have faith in the fear. And no fear here. No fear is allowed to settle and rest in my life. Yeah, I'm nervous. Yeah, I'm scared. But I refuse to let fear grab me and grip me and take authority over me. The devil is a lie. There is no fear. Fear not. You want to do a good study while you're off? Look at all the places where the word of God says fear not. It is a command. Fear not. So answer number one is our help is in the name of the Lord. Answer number two is that God's spirit is still in the midst, and because his spirit is in the midst, we have no reason to fear. Answer number three, moving right along. Answer number three is found in Haggai 2 and 6. So he goes from 2 and 5 and he keeps on talking. 2 and 6 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Here's an answer for you. This is a shaking. Why did this happen? Why did you allow this? Is this God's judgment? It may not be God's judgment on the church, but God has allowed it to hit the world. Why did you allow it? Here's the answer. It's his shaking. See, you were asking him questions about your situation, but he started answering other stuff. This is a shaking. You ever try to wake your kids up for school, and sometimes you call their name and they don't wake up, but then you got to shake them up. Not wake them up. You got to shake them up. And God is shaking things and waking folk up, because there are some rich folk who have put their trust in their wealth and haven't put their trust in God. And they're not generous and they're greedy and they don't pay a good wage, and they do dirty and evil stuff, and they close up shop here and send shop over to another country to get cheap labor and bring it back over here and sell it to us at high prices. God says, I'm tired of this greedy spirit. I'm tired of these arrogant folk. I'm getting ready to shake some stuff. But thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth. Whenever we hear the heavens, we always think about God. But the heavens also represent the fallen angels, the demonic spirits. God is shaking some of them demons, those greed demons, those lust demons. Do you know that they say that Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association, and the National Football League all together do not make the money and bring in the money that pornography brings in? Because there's some evil in the land. There's some sex trafficking. There's some stuff that God is not for. And money is going into wicked folk hands. So God is shaking stuff. Because all the wealthy folk got to sit home right now. Even the real wealthy folk, the millionaires and the billionaires, their money can't get them out of this. If they get some droplets on them and they breathe it in, they'll get the virus just like anybody else. God is leveling the playing field, and he's shaking some stuff. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "And I will shake all nations." This is not a local virus. This is not just in Muncie. It's all over the globe. "I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." He promised in the end time that there will be a wealth transfer, that things would transfer out of wicked people into the hands of the people of God, into the houses of God. And we are the temple of God. So when God says the glory's going to come, he's saying there's some wealth going to come, but I got to shake it out of some folks' hands. I got to remind them they are not God, and their money is not God, and their stocks are not God. I got to let stuff go down so they'll look to the hills from where their strength comes from. And that's why everybody around is putting on videos saying he got the whole world in his hand, because I'm understanding no matter how much money I got, I'm still in his hands. Now, when I say a wealth transfer, sometimes we think God's just going to take it from wicked people and give it to us. That's not quite what it means. It means that he's going to transform wicked people to start worshiping God. And then they're going to start giving into the things of God. They're going to say, look at the praise team. I like the way y'all sang when I was sick. I'm going to send some money to y'all because I want you to be blessed because you blessed me. No longer am I going to be taking my money and just taking it to the casino and gambling. Now I want to invest into the kingdom of God because God shook me from where I was at and shook me from what I was in. And now I have a new appetite. It's some millionaires and some billionaires that's going to start looking at the church and say, how can I invest into the church? How can I give to them? I woke up. God shook me awake. I've been putting my money in the wrong stuff. I've been trusting the wrong things. I want to celebrate the things of God. That's how the wealth transfer is going to happen. Let's look at verse 8, and this is the reason why. Verse 8, he says, the silver is mine. And the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. It might be in your hand, but it's mine. It might be in your bank account, but it's mine. It might be on your back, but it's mine. And when I get ready, I'm going to shake it. And I want you to turn and give what's in your hand and put it into the kingdom of God. Worshipers everywhere, get ready for a transfer of the wealth of God. Get ready for a transfer of the things of God. And before the silver and the gold comes, we want the anointing first. Because you don't need money and you don't need wealth if you don't have no anointing. Because you won't know what to do. Before the wealth and the gold comes, you need a prayer life. Because you don't need wealth and gold if you ain't talking to God. But some of y'all who've been struggling and you've been pressing your way and you've been giving and you can make more money in the world, but you've been bringing your talents to the kingdom of God. God says, I'm shaking some stuff. And money's going to start coming to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Verse 9, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So children of God, kingdom of God, saints all across the globe, this is our finest hour. This is our hour to shine. Now, if we don't know God and we've been playing church, ain't nobody going to see no light coming off of us. But we're the light of the earth, and we're the light of the world, and we're the salt of the earth, and people are going to begin to look to us. Amen. They've been paying therapists stuff that we're going to tell them, and they're going to give some of that money to us. And we're going to tell them, yes, I'm going to take it, but keep going to your therapist because he's licensed and you need to keep going, but you can sow to me because I'll pray for you and help whatever the therapist says. But we're going to partner, and people are going to want to partner with the church, the real church, not the church just coming and playing and shouting every week and going home the same, but the real church that's getting close to God, that is getting laying their face before God, that's saying, God, I want you more than anything, and I won't let a materialistic thing keep me from you, God. That church, God is influxing it with wealth for his glory and for his peace. All right, let's recap. Answer number one, our help is in the name of the Lord. Answer number two, God's spirit is with us, so no need to fear. Answer number three, this is a shaking, especially of the world systems. I'll pause right there real quick. When I'm talking about systems, you see the education system is hit. The economic system is hit. The health systems are hit. This is a shaking of the world systems because there are so many people who are worshiping these systems. You got people who, if their person don't get in office, they can't function because they worship the democratic system. If Trump don't get elected again, I'm going to be mad at everybody. If Trump gets unseated, I'm going to be mad at everybody. But if Trump doesn't get elected, I'm going to be happy. I'm really going to be able to praise God. No, baby, it don't make a difference who get in office because your hope is not in that system. Well, they're closing down my job. I understand that, but my hope is not in that system. I, 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 I've been right at the brink of layoff. I've been right at stuff where it looked like they tell me you're going to lose your job and they're coming after your job. And somehow God always maneuvers things and I stay where I am because I don't have my hope in that system. My hope is in the name of the Lord. My hope is in God. My thoughts and my ideas are on the kingdom of God. There's only one system and it's the kingdom of God. The scripture says it started as a little rock, but it grew into a whole mountain. Those of us who are holding on to that rock, because on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All these worldly systems will not be able to come against what we have. And I know the world is making us feel like we're the crazy ones. Y'all coming in there, y'all broke and y'all sweating and hollering. Don't look like God's been good to you. They don't understand what we have. They don't know the blood of the Lamb. They don't know that we tried not to come to church, but something in us made us come. And then when we got here, we tried not to praise, but something in us made us praise. It's like Jeremiah. It was like fire shut up in my bones because I'm locked into the system of God. I'm locked into the peace of God. I'm locked into the joy of God. I'm locked into the wealth of God. I'm locked into the faith of God. Whatever this world does, it won't affect me because this world is not my God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. My car is not my God. My home's not my God. My job's not my God. Not even this church building is my God. Because even though we don't have a bunch of people in the building, I'm still preaching because the building's not my God. It is the Lord God Almighty. And it's not just that, but it's his goodness. Because he's been good to me when he shouldn't have been good to me. See, some of y'all don't know because I always dress it up and wear a suit. And you don't know how messed up I really am, but God's been so good to me. And he's washed me and he's cleaned me and he presents me faultless. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I think. And now unto him that is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing because my hope is in that system. And then 3B, answer 3B, which we have just covered. This is the beginning of the wealth transfer to the church. This is the beginning of that. Well, where is that in the scripture? Let's look at Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. One version says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. It's actually being stored up for the just. Don't be mad at somebody else's 401k because they're storing it up for the things of God. Now I have to get just a little political here real quick let me say political and historical. One of the issues with African American people is they locked us out of a lot of generational wealth. Because the way the average man, if you didn't get inherited wealth, the way the average man moved into generational wealth was through land ownership and through home ownership and through being able to leverage with the banks to get things and get businesses. But after segregation ended and they lifted these laws, it looked like we was going to go free. But then they started making these new laws, these hidden laws that kept us from generational wealth. And so we haven't been able to leave stuff to our children's children. But if you're in that place and you didn't get nothing from grandma and you didn't get nothing from daddy, it's okay because as long as you're righteous, God still got something laid up for you. He's tired of people doing the wrong thing and locking folk out of the blessings that he has in his scripture. The blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and he addeth no sorrow. And yes, they let us get some stuff, but they charge us high interest rates, higher than other folk. They did us dirty. They did us wrong. And I'm talking specifically about the black race and African American people right now. And they try to lock us out of stuff. But there's a transfer coming on this land that black folk gonna be a part of. You ain't gonna be able to keep us out of this. Your laws and your rules and your racism and your prejudice not gonna be able to keep us out of this because the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And there's some people right now going crazy because they don't know how to make beans and water work. But we've been poor and we've been broken. We've been begging before. We know how to get through hard times, and we still got a praise in our spirit. We still got a praise in our hand. We still got a praise in our mouth. Watch us black people, and we'll show you how to praise your way out. We was picking cotton, and we praised our way out. We was getting beat on our back, and we praised our way out. They were dogging us and lying us and ripping our families apart, and we praised our way out. If you want to know how to get through, watch us, because God loves him some dark-skinned folk. Now, he loves everybody, but lately, in the last several hundred years, we've been really challenged by a demonic system. I'm not talking about people, but there's a demonic system, so God's been shaking the system. And next thing you know, we're going to have businesses, and we're not just going to be buying Air Jordans all the time, but we're going to be making stuff, inventing stuff, doing stuff. It's our time to shine. Amen. I just threw that in there for somebody who wanted a little dessert and a little chips and salsa. I just threw that in there for you. All right, and this brings us to point C. Last point. C, God answers questions in a way that keeps you faithfully looking forward to the future. He answers questions in such a way. So he got answers, but sometimes his answers come in a way that doesn't give you the full picture, but gives you just enough to keep you going. Let me give you a quick story. One of the reasons why I'm still playing golf right now is not because I'm good. It's because the day that I was going to quit, Brother Ron, tell you, Brother JB, the day I was going to quit, I had played on my last hole, and I had played horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible. I'm thinking, why did I waste my money? But on my last shot, I hit it. And it flew up so beautiful. Oh, man, it looked like TV. My last shot, I hit it, and it just floated in the air and landed just right. And that was just enough to make me come back again. Maybe I got something. I messed up every hole, but the last hole, one shot looked so good. It gave me a glimpse of what I might be able to do if I don't quit. Yeah. And God answers us in such a way. He gives us a glimpse of what we could be if we stay in this thing. I know you've been messing up, and I know you've been sinning. I know you've been addicted, but that one praise going to look so pretty. That one anointing going to look so pretty. That one favor of the Lord, that one blessing going to look so good. It's going to make you stay in this thing a little while longer. He has a way of answering us in a way that makes us keep on looking for the future. I can't quit now, because if I quit now, I might miss out on what everything God is doing. So even though I'm worried and I'm tired in this quarantine, I'm about to crack open my Bible. I'm about to blow the dust off this Bible. I'm about to get back in it, because I believe God's doing something. I don't know what he's doing, but I got some hope and I got some faith. I love the song that the praise team used to sing that said, "My desire is to see a move of God and a move in me." So I'm releasing my faith to see God move. He gives us just enough to show us, hey, come on, come on. There's more to it. You ever been watching one of those shows that has a series, and right at the end of one show, they say, "To be continued." Oh, come on. I got to come back and watch next week, because they left me in the middle. I got to see what happens again. And God, sometimes he answers in such a way that says to be continued, that makes us have faith. If I stay in this thing, I might see the goodness of the Lord. I believe I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe so. God will do it just like that, just to give us. Now, I'm not saying he's toying with us, but he reveals the pieces of our puzzle. And once we see how God sees us, it keeps us excited. Let's look at Mark 23. This is an answer that God gave to a man. A man was asking for God to heal his child. His child, demons would cause his child to be thrown into the fire and thrown into the water. And so he said, "God, if you can, will you heal my child?" And this is Jesus' response in Mark 9:23. "If you can," question mark, like, if you, what do you mean, "if I can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for one who believes." In other words, the onus is not on my power. The onus is on your faith. It's not about what I can do. It's about what you can believe. And in the middle of this virus, I'm here to say it's not about what God is able to do. It's what about what are you able to believe? You have a book in you that you can write during this time. What are you able to believe in a downturn, in a crisis, in an issue, in a quarantine? It's not about if God can, it's about what do you believe. Everything is possible. And the King James says all things are possible to him that believes. So I love what the next verse says, Mark 24:9-24. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." King James, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." In other words, I see what you're saying, God, and I have some belief, but I need you to work on the areas that I don't believe. So in this time, you show me a glimpse of my future. So in this quarantine time, God, work on me so I can come out believing like I never believed before. Because it's not based on you wanting to do, it's based on me not being able to believe. And Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Get rid of the doubt. Get rid of the issues in my head. Get the cobwebs out of my thinking. Get the stinking thinking out of my mind. Get the negative thoughts and the toxic people out of my life. God, people always talking about in 2020, I'm going to cut some folk off. God help you cut some folk off. He quarantined everybody. You ain't got no excuses talking about somebody in your life. You don't have any excuses. Say, God, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God going to work on our unbelief and release us into destiny. Let's look at Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." I want you to start thinking about the possibilities that are going to happen in this time. This is a new normal. What we're experiencing now is going to be a new normal where things are shifting. There's a shaking and a shifting, and the possibility is all up to us if we can believe. All things are possible if we believe. So this leads me to answer number four, and this is where we're close from. Answer number four, you ain't seen nothing yet. I understand that's not grammatically correct, but like I said, this ain't time about having good grammar. You ain't seen nothing yet. 2020 still is your year. This still is your decade. I know it's come a little funky. It's a little stressful right now, but I'm here to announce to you prophetically, you ain't seen nothing yet. God is not shaking systems just to be shaking systems. He's shaking them for the people of God, because you ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. What God is about to do, what God is fixing to do, like the country folks say, what God fitting to do, what he fitting to do about to blow your mind. You're not going to recognize me when I come out of this. I'm not going to act the same. I'm not going to think the same. I'm not going to walk the same. You ain't seen nothing yet. God's working on my unbelief, and I'm stepping in some faith. I'm grabbing some stuff from the heavenlies, and I'm pulling it down, and I'm telling the devil, you can't stop what I got in my spirit. I got albums in my spirit. I got plays in my spirit. I got books in my spirit. I got businesses in my spirit. I got investments in my spirit. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen my anointing. It's about to triple. My glory about to double. You ain't seen nothing yet. My praise about to go to another level. My prayers gonna go to another level. My tongues ain't gonna sound the same. Let me stop for a second and talk to y'all. Some of y'all tongues that sound the same the last 20 years, but God about to change your tongues. Your prayer language won't sound the same. You ain't seen nothing yet. I feel a Donald Lawrence spirit coming on me. You ain't seen nothing yet. God, what God gonna do in your life? What God gonna do in these cities? What God gonna do in these countries? What God gonna do across the globe? Right now, folk only know you in Muncie. But God gonna turn stuff around. Next thing you know, you're gonna have a video that go viral because you ain't seen nothing yet. Don't quit, don't give up. This is just the tip of the iceberg. So Isaiah 43:19, last three verses. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." And here's the key. "Shall ye not know it?" Here's the problem. There's some people not gonna even catch it. All they gonna think about, you remember when we was in that virus and we were stuck in the house, they gonna miss this opportunity to get close to God and realize God's doing a new thing. Some folk gonna come out brand new. Other folk gonna be the same. But you can't put new wine in the old wineskins. You got to allow God to change you and rearrange you, because he's doing a new thing. But here's the question he asked you: are you gonna recognize it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. I'll make a way in the middle of COVID-19. I'll make a way in the middle of the coronavirus. I was praying to God and saying, God, I need some time to work on ministry more. Well, guess what? I got some time. I'm laid off, and I've been doing ministry from sun up to sundown. Oh, God answered my prayer. He'll make a way in the wilderness, and he'll make rivers in the desert, streams in the desert. Wait a second. Water don't flow in the desert, because he's God. He can put anything anywhere. He can put money in Muncie, Indiana. He can put millions in Deliverance Temple tomorrow if you feel like it, because he's doing a new thing. Are you going to recognize it? Yes. And this is how it will help us recognize it. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. These are the last two verses. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, you love God, you ain't seen nothing yet. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Some of y'all been thinking, man, all I have is a spirit. Every now and then I just put my hands up. I don't know if I even got nothing. That's all you need. Because with his Spirit, he's going to show you things you've never seen before. So everybody who's been getting close to God, this is not a bad season. This is an amazing season to launch us into amazing time. Let's go and pray. With our prayer warriors, would you just log off? Take some time to pray for the congregation. I'm going to pray. Would you put our prayer up in the back? We're going to go right into prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I know you've got answers, and you've given us answers in this time. But what you're telling us is that we haven't seen anything yet. And it is your power and your Spirit that's going to reveal to us in these hours what you're going to do. Don't let us lose this momentum. Don't let us lose what we have. This is an hour for the church to shine, for the church to be the church. Let us make a difference like we've never made a difference before. God, wash us, cleanse us. We repent of everything not like you. We know we're not perfect and we don't have everything right, but you're getting us together and you're getting us ready for that great getting up morning. You're getting us ready for the revival that's going to hit this land. You're getting us ready, and God, Deliverance Temple wants to be a part of it. The saints want to be a part of it. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without us. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen and amen. Goodbye. God bless you. We love you.